This is Meet the People for Friday, November 21st, 2008. I'm Kels Hetherington, and my guest on the phone is Senator-elect Anchorage Mayor Mark Begich. Good morning, Senator, and thanks for being with us on 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint and King Cove.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to come and talk with you again.
Well, it's been a wild ride for the last, almost more than a week. The Alaska Senate race was for more than a week in the news as being one of the Senate races still to be determined after the election. Before you were declared the winner, were you thinking that you had lost the election, or did you think that you would actually prevail?
Yeah, no, I felt fairly confident. You know, when I say fairly, if I was kind of looking at the percentages, I would say, 60% chance I felt like we were going to pull this out. And the reason I felt that was the day of the election, the night of the election, the numbers, came in. We were 3,400 down, still about 44,000 votes to count. And I looked at that and thought that was fairly tough to overcome. But the next morning when I started looking at the numbers, and I felt like, probably we'd be closer to 70 or 80,000 votes still to count. And then I looked at two interesting precinct breakdowns, because we didn't have these the night of the election, but the day after, I was able to look at two precinct areas. One was the military bases, both in Anchorage and in Fairbanks. And we had won those, which were base support bases for Ted Stevens. So when I saw that we had won those, that was a very good signal. The second piece was rural Alaska. When I looked at rural Alaska and saw that we had won almost all of rural Alaska, that told me that, again, that was one of his core bases. And we were winning those areas by 2 and 3 to 1 in some cases. So when I looked at that, looked at how many votes were still out there, I felt even better as the day moved on. I'm not sure my staff did, but I just kept telling people, be patient. It's going to be a close race, but be patient. And we turned it around by almost 7,000 votes.
It was incredible.
It was a lot of turnaround there.
Yeah, and it's been a national news story, as of course you know. There must be a lot of excitement in both your office in Anchorage, where you're the mayor, and also in your home. When do you actually go to Washington?
I'll go second week in December. As you know, earlier this week they had Senate training, but I was not a winner at that point, so I was unable to go. So now that the race is over, I'll go for more of a one-day training, then meeting with the leadership and some other opportunities, probably again in December if time allows. But then January 6th is swearing-in time, and then actual activity and work and session starting with the inauguration and everything will be about the 18th, 19th of January, and then there I am. The office should be set up. We'll spend probably several months, and people, I hope, will be patient with us as we get all our systems down and our operation in place, because it will take a little bit to do that. But we're looking, in a couple weeks, be there, and then January 6th, the official swearing-in.
If you're just joining us here on Meet the People on 8:30 a.m., I'm talking with Senator-elect Mayor Mark Begich of Anchorage. Senator, have you spoken with Senator Ted Stevens about how the transition will go?
I haven't personally spoken with him. We, he put a statement out, which was a very gracious statement, and his offer to work with us and work through the transition, which we're anxious to do. Also, I knew yesterday he was going to be on the floor with his speech, and I called him yesterday afternoon, which was our time, evening their time, and talked to his staff and told them that we're anxious to start the process of transition. So I would hope to hear in the next day or so, but we're moving forward, and again, it's important to recognize the service that Ted Stevens has done, and recognizing that, it is a change of 40 years, and we should, again, recognize the great work he's done, but it is an opportunity now to make sure we don't have any missteps and not miss anything that maybe the projects they were working on, he was working on, that are very important to our state.
Senator Begich, the family name Begich is hardly a new one in Washington inner circles. Your father represented the state until his untimely death in a plane crash. Is your leadership style in Washington going to be like that of your father's?
I would say, based on what, when my father passed, I was 10 years old, but a lot of people, I had a woman who called me from Virginia who had known in my family since they were up here in the military days. They knew him a great deal, and it was interesting. She said she closed her eyes and could hear my dad, and she opened her eyes and saw my mother, which is a nice combination, I think. And I think my style will be similar in a lot of ways, and that is, you know, charging ahead, working hard, trying to build friendships on both aisles, both Republican and Democrat, but really pushing the message of what Alaska is about, and not just about Anwar, but our fishing industry, our healthcare delivery system, how hard it is to educate young people in rural communities because of the uniqueness of geographic locations. And so you bet I'm going to be charging out there full steam ahead, working hard. So that's what they'll get from me.
You talk about building relationships on both sides of the aisle. Your win is particularly impressive because you've defeated the longest-serving Republican Senator, Ted Stevens, because of the fact that most Alaskans are more conservative, but in this election, so many liberal Democrats were elected. How are you going to work with both groups successfully and be a very successful freshman in the Democratic caucus in Congress?
Oh, I think I'll continue to do what I've been doing here, for example, as mayor of Anchorage. I'm practical. I'm focused on results. I'm not going to get into the hard partisan bickering that goes on. And some of the senators that have been elected this cycle are not necessarily as liberal as people think. A lot of them are coming from the Rocky Mountains, which are, a strong gun rights states. They are interested in natural resource development. They recognize the importance of protecting the environment, but also understand how to balance that against good development. So I think it's kind of an interesting mix that we have there. In a lot of ways, this election cycle has shifted the Democratic Party, I believe, more moderate on the Senate side. I'm not necessarily saying that on the House side, but on the Senate side, because the control has been mostly from East Coast Democrats, now more Rocky Mountain Democrats, Bingaman, Baucus, Salazar, Tester, myself and others are a little more moderate in a lot of areas. So I think that's going to help the Democratic Party.
Mm. Democrats have long opposed the Alaska delegation's efforts, principally those of Senator Ted Stevens, but shared by Congressman Don Young and Senator Lisa Murkowski, and before her, her father, Frank Murkowski, to open Anwar to oil exploration. Now, Democrats have been opposed to this for the most part. Do you plan to be a champion for the opening of Anwar to oil drilling?
I'm going to be out there absolutely talking about Anwar, but I'm also going to talk about how it fits into the national energy policy. That's what I think was missing. I think in a lot of ways we have missed the real discussion of how important Alaska fits into the whole issue of energy, not only from natural resources like Anwar, but also our gas line. The issue of NPRA leasing, but also the whole process of what are we going to do to 30, 40 years from now make sure we have a solid energy policy. And I think Anwar is part of that, but we have to do it in a much broader perspective, and I think that's what we need, where we need to go.
Hmm. National attention has come to Alaska because of your remarkable political victory over the longest-serving Republican senator, and because of the selection of Governor Sarah Palin as the Republican vice presidential nominee. How do you moderate, to some respect, Palin's national success to make sure that Alaska doesn't sort of become more conservative instead of more liberal-minded?
Well, I think what I hope is that we really make the issue of what is important. And what is important is Alaska issues as a primary issue. And that's what we're going to really... I think pound away on, and that you know, you can be liberal, you can be conservative, whatever you want to be, but at the end of the day, we have to focus on what's right for this country and what's right for this state. And I do believe that we will see. I think we will see between myself, Lisa Murkowski, the governor, Don Young, a great effort to bring Alaska issues to the forefront. So I'm feeling pretty good about where we're at and what we're going to be able to present. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I would hate to say that, you know, we become more conservative or more liberal. I think what we're going to become is more realistic and get some of these solutions done that have been vacant and not being resolved for many, many years.
What is your relationship like with the Palin administration?
It is very good. We've had a great relationship with the Palin administration as mayor. Matter of fact, the day after the election or the actual final count, which occurred, as you know, this last Tuesday, we had a great opportunity to have a few minutes of discussion, but really it was just a moment of congratulation, and we're going to get together and talk about Alaska issues and what we can do to propel those on the national front. So I think we have a good position. Where I disagree, I mean, you'll hear that. There's times, for example, on the gas line, I think it's important we get the gas line, but I think there's two pieces missing that the legislature and the governor need to do. One is 25% of the revenue stream, the taxes that are generated from that gas line, need to be directed to local governments, communities around the state. And the second piece is, when that gas line is done, simultaneously as the gas line is being constructed, we must have a second spur off of it, or a spur off of it, that creates in-state use. Otherwise, we don't get any use out of it. So we need to make sure that occurs.
Now, some oil industry executives have said that you might be able to send natural gas through the current oil pipeline. Have you ever considered that option?
I have heard that option, and honestly, I haven't, you know, explored it much. Obviously, in the last 6 months, been engaged in a campaign, but I do believe, though, you know, we're going to look at every option that's out there, because it's important for us to maximize all the assets and how we can use them to bring our natural resources, oil and gas, to the country, but also for us as a state to receive that financial benefit and the product of gas benefit.
I'm going to take a quick break and play a couple of PSAs. We'll be back with Mayor Mark Begich. He is Senator-elect after a very, very interesting Senate race in Alaska. We'll be back in just a moment on Meet the People with Senator-elect Mark Begich.
Family's living room filled with an ordinary bunch of kids, and they were doing nothing when suddenly...
That's a personal foul. Inactive activity on a sunny day.
Coming to the rescue was NFL running back Reggie Bush.
Let's play.
Yeah! And play they did. There was running and jumping, and laziness was crushed.
Hey, kids, don't get a lazy penalty.
Go online to smallstep.gov for fun playtime ideas.
So you can be a player, too.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be a player.
Programming on KSDP is brought to you by Tel Alaska, continuing a tradition of innovation and excellence, connecting businesses across Alaska through an advanced statewide data network from office to office, town to town, to the world outside. At Tel Alaska, of course you can.
Will I always be working weekends just to stay out of debt?
Is a great college for our kids
out of the question?
Is the American dream
out of our reach?
Not if we can help it. We're the National Endowment for Financial Education, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people just like you get smart about their money. Log on to smartaboutmoney.org today and start taking control of your financial life. Help is closer than you think.
Back now on Meet the People on our Friday morning with Senator-elect Mark Begich, now mayor of Anchorage. He is going to have to go in a moment. He's got a very busy schedule, as you can imagine. In our final moments, I'd like to ask you about recent goings on on Capitol Hill. This week in Washington, both the Senate and the House banking committees have held hearings to consider a bailout of the American auto industry. And as the week has progressed, Citigroup appears to be in an ever more dire, financially beleaguered condition. Many Democrats are now calling for a bailout of Detroit. Are you, too, supportive of committing more taxpayer dollars than were committed in TARP to the car industry?
Yeah, I think there's an effort that Congress will have to make. But before we go down that path, I think, for example, what Congress talked about this last day was making sure that the auto industry has a real plan. They have not presented a real plan. But the second piece of this is, you can pour as much money into the industry as you want, but if you don't have financial instruments available for people to purchase vehicles, the customers to go get bank financing or car financing, you will not be able to buy those products. Therefore, you end up with the same problem, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now. So I'm hoping, and one of my goals will be, is not to look at these things as a moment in time, but what's the long term. And it is important to make sure we don't have a whole bunch of new unemployed, but also protecting our manufacturing industry, but ensuring that you have people that can buy vehicles. Because if you have right now a very tight financial markets, people who go to get an auto loan, it's very difficult. And if you don't have the capacity to buy a car, then you're not going to buy the cars that are being manufactured. Therefore, it doesn't matter how many you produce or how much money you put in. So I'm going to be more interested in a more longer-term approach, a more systematic approach, not just one element of the industry.
And the Democrats have said that, and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have been talking in very much that same vein of reasoning. But for 40 years, Senator Baggage, the American car industry has been losing market share to foreign competitors. I understand that you're concerned about the consumer's ability to get credit to purchase an automobile. But General Motors has been among the worst of a failing class to make profits. In fact, since 1998, they've spent $120 billion retooling. If they continue to operate under Mr. Wagner, how is this going to be any different than it's been in the last number of years?
Right. Well, that is the question. They may not have the capacity to retool. I mean, that's the reality that we may face. And that is something that as a country we're gonna have to deal with. But I think, you know, the way these companies have operated is they've always focused on just the moment, you know, the next 2 or 3 years customer demands. Where you take a company like Toyota, what they've done is they've looked at the next 20, 30 years, and they designed their systems to meet, you know, they saw 10 years ago that it was in their wise interest and good financial interest to change and modify their plants to become more green in the sense of how they're going to develop more fuel-efficient vehicles, and now they're working with fuel cells. And, you know, the U.S. auto industry was more interested in, you know, next year's model, and that is where the dynamics have to change. And if they can't change that, then you're right, that they will not be able to change, and they may just fall off to the side. But the reality is, as a country, you know, having American manufactured product is a good thing, but if they are unable to change in the sense of what other companies have done, then, you know, it is what it is. And I agree with you. But I think we have to have a much longer term view of things, and that is not what's been occurring with the auto industry. It's more about next year's model and what can they sell you next year and not 10 years from now. And that's what they got to change up.
What about a bailout of Citibank? Would you be willing to support something like that?
I'm not sure I would be because, you know, the first bailout on the financial institutions didn't do what I thought it was going to do in the sense of creating more liquidity within the markets. And what they said it would do is, you know, would create more liquidity and more capital, but it missed the whole boat. It missed the boat of creating capital for small businesses to continue to expand their businesses. Congress did not put enough restraint on how they utilize that money. And our position in those, which are equity positions, should have been much stronger in saying, if we're going to own a piece of the rock, then we want you to do A, B, C. We didn't do that. And I think Citibank, you know, if you got Citibank next, who's after that? And we got to be very careful that we don't become the funding source for these poorly run operations. I mean, think about these multi-billion dollar operations when they're teetering of just 30, 60 days, 90 days of change. That tells me they weren't a very well-run company.
I think a lot of Americans would agree with that.
Yeah, some of these countries, you know, companies should sustain a much shorter period. You know, when after 90 days they're in trouble, you know, that's just bad news for them as a company that was being run.
Yeah, and a lot of reports, one in the Washington Post particularly, was very funny in talking about these car CEOs coming to Washington on their private jets with tin cup in hand. And I thought that was amusing. I understand that if these people have to make sure that their time is not wasted, but there were, I think, 48 flights between Washington and Detroit on the day that they were supposed to arrive in Washington. So it's hard to understand how they're in such financial trouble that they would, you know, come to Washington to beg for money and do so by flying to Washington on their private aircraft. Let me ask you one final question, Senator Baggage. What is the most important thing that you want to achieve during your first term in the U.S. Senate?
I think I would say there's two quick things. One, well, not quick, but two items. One is a long-term energy policy that addresses not only natural resource development, but renewable energy, conservation, and new technologies. I think that's a critical thing. The second thing is I think we need to reestablish the confidence of Alaska and this country to Washington, D.C. I think there's a lack of confidence in there. and the ability for them to get their job done and to be understand what everyday Alaskans are facing. I think that is a job that is critical. I had to do that when I was mayor the first year, because once you establish a higher level of confidence from the people to their elected officials, then there's a lot of capacity to do a lot of things in concert with the people of Alaska. That's what we need to be doing. So energy policy for this country that involves an Alaska perspective, but the other piece of it is clearly that we have to move forward and get a reestablishment of confidence level in this country. And that will also help us long-term with our economy, I believe.
Well, thank you so much for being on the air with us this morning on 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sandpoint, also heard in King Cove. I hope, Senator, we could have you back sometime in the future to talk about how things are going in Washington.
I will be happy to do that. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
That was Senator-elect Mayor Mark Begich of Anchorage. She is the Democrat who has defeated Senator Ted Stevens. All right, now back to Science Friday, and the program is already in progress.